I used to be out for myself and alone. But that's not who I am anymore.
You're on a different path now.
And I have you guys.
We're family.
Fanboys and Friends presents...
Lord Vader. Dispatch Inquisitors to hunt the rebels.
The Empire's looking everywhere for us.
We can't just run.
We're being pulled out of hyperspace.
It's a Star Destroyer!
No. That is something else.
Lock down the spaceport.
We can't beat that blockade. Not without a better ship.
The Red Blades. They took her. They knew.
The Inquisitors are after these kids because they're like you, Ezra.
This is one of my most advanced designs. And it packs a punch.
If only we had more allies. I know someone.
My name is Rex. Captain, 501st Clone Battalion. Meet Commanders Gregor and Wolf.
Red 5. Ghost Transmissions.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight.
My parents! They're out there, and I've got to find them!
We're soldiers. This is what we were born to do.
There are questions. Questions that need answering.
You are a Jedi.
I'm not really a Jedi.
Then be a pirate Jedi.
Still a bounty hunter, I see.
Tell me you don't miss it.
Ezra, your parents, they escaped.
The Empire put a bounty on you.
You gonna try to collect?
What if you forget whose side you're on?
I would never be on their side.
I'm Clan Ren, House Vizsla. I seek justice through single combat.
How do we fight him?
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
The apprentice of Anakin Skywalker lives.
Skywalker's apprentice could lead us to other lost Jedi.
Your speculation and discussion of all things Star Wars Rebels.
Unexpected, but not unwelcome.
Join the rebellion. Stay rebellious, my friends.
All right, gang, and welcome to the latest Red 5 Ghost Transmissions. I am your host, Davidson, and back aboard the Ghost. And with me, you know what? That Minock, he's just MIA. He's
a slippery little guy.
He's like Luke. We can't find him. We can't find him. And when we do find him, Minock better not look like homeless Obi-Wan. With me, however, I am not alone. Your pal and mine, also heading out of Dagobah, or Florida, to you non-Star Wars aficionados here, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how you doing, my friend?
Doing good, David. Ready to dive into some Rebels, or as I like to call it this week, enemy mine.
Yes, yes. Now, I posed this question last episode, and I'll say it again. Which one is Luke Gossett Jr.?
I still got to go with Zeb.
Really? I mean, we've seen how Luke looks.
Yeah.
He looks nothing like Zeb.
Well, I think as we get into the episode, I think what we see happen with our good Agent Cal is kind of reflects a little bit more Dennis Quaid's arc in Enemy Mine.
Well, that may be the case, except I don't remember Dennis hanging upside down that much.
Oh, true, but I think more in character development.
True. Okay, well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Kyle, why don't you, sir, start off and just, here, let me pull the ghost out of port, and we'll take a nosedive right into Star Wars Rebels.
Well, we start this episode had, this was a very interesting episode. I'm going to call it kind of probably the last of the filler episodes for this season, because I think everything going forward is going to be really moving the plot forward.
Oh yes, we get to the real meat as of next week, I believe.
Yes, but we can, if you want to reminisce, David, we go to a planet that has some history in the Star Wars universe.
Well, actually, no, we go to one of the moons. Of the planet.
And why don't you just tell everybody what this planet was, Mr. Senden?
Oh, this planet might as well have had a big can of Raid over it, because it was Geonosis.
Yes, it was Geonosis.
And let me just say, where are those, everyone is so anti-prequel preachers now, huh? We've seen prequel stuff referenced in everything, in Rebels. You have it referenced in The Force Awakens. And no, I'm not talking about the line that some are taking as a slap in the face to George Lucas. No, get that out of your head. But you have prequel stuff everywhere. The Kanan comic is prequel set. We have prequel elements all over the place, kids. The prequels are staying. Get used to it.
This public service announcement in support of the prequels was brought to you by David B. Senden, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Now I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah. So our rebel crew arrives and, in their typical fashion, have a plan to raid some Empire outposts that are around Geonosis. And is it just me, David, or do they seem like maybe they might be a smaller version of the Death Star?
I was thinking Death Star. I'm just like, oh, wait, it's just the station.
But, you know, it's just the station, but obviously there were some really big cans of Raid in that station because there was no life on Geonosis.
Yes, what really big cans of Raid as far as the Empire goes would be called fire blasters.
Well, my thinking is whatever was going on with that is something we're going to be revisiting, and we're going to be revisiting it very soon.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Season 3 territory, a little mad blue guy going all AB on Geonosis, perhaps.
Could very possibly be, but our rebels decide, okay, well, we need to get on one of these bases. And the plan goes only as our intrepid rebels group can make a plan go, which is usually not anywhere near like it was planned. So this leads to a confrontation with stormtroopers and a good friend of ours. We actually haven't really seen a lot of this season, and that's our friend Agent Kallus.
Oh, yeah. Agent Kallus is back, and those mutton chops.
The power of the chops, baby. The power of the chops.
Those Wolverine mutton chops.
Which, of course, you know, if Zeb and Kallus are in the same room, we know what that's going to lead to.
Not good.
No.
A whole lot of not good.
And in this case, the not good not only gets Zeb and Kallus pulled away from the rest of the group, it basically, as doors get shut, Zeb gets cut off from the rest of the team, as they're trying to make their escape from the space station.
Pretty much.
But never fear, because there's always a trusty escape pod right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, can I just point out one tiny gripe here, Kyle?
Yeah, go for it.
Why is it the... Okay, I thought, okay, we change shows, change animation, the escape pods would look less like Buicks. Yes, I swear. Am I seeing things, Kyle, or is it from Clone Wars to here? The escape pods still look like Buicks.
I think the escape pod is probably one of those things that will never ever get an upgrade in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, you mean? Oh man, wait! I have to process this. You mean I'm still gonna see escape pods and think Lone Star?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's a fact of life. Accept it and just move on.
All right.
So,
I've had to do a lot of that lately.
Well, you know, such is the way. Be one with the Force, David. Be one with the Force. Find
you. You got so many Star Wars movies coming. I don't want to do that.
Focus on Rogue One.
All right. It's like focus on the door, Otis. Focus on the door.
Exactly. So Zeb kind of, you know, thinks he's going to get away scot-free in this escape pod, except Kallus isn't far behind, and he gets in the escape pod with Zeb, and the fight is on, and we're talking about two pretty big guys in a very confined space. That usually doesn't end well. In this case, it ends with the pod launching and the controls and damage being done to the escape pod. So while the escape pod kind of misses its target by a few, just a little bit, just a tad bit, only misses the planet and crash lands on the ice moon around Geonosis.
Yes. Which I was actually kind of hoping it would crash on Geonosis, to be honest with you. Just because I know people say, okay, it's a show on Disney, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just like, come on, I kind of want to see a bug carcass.
Yeah, I would have, considering what they revealed, I think I think that would have been a very interesting plot point to go to.
Yeah, just to see the Geonosian genocide. But, how do you say that?
Yeah, I'm impressed, because that was a little bit of a tongue twister.
That was, okay? I get the award of the evening. That was.
And the Oscar goes to, oh wait, this is about Star Wars, never mind.
Oh, God. Go on, Kyle.
So they crash land on the ice planet, and Kallus gets hurt in the crash. The idea is that it looks like he may have broken his leg.
Yep.
This leads to basically Zeb having to channel his inner self-control, which is quite impressive, to not just take out Kallus, because he knows he needs him to survive.
I think this is where we learn the softer side of Zeb. He has a little Lou Gossett Jr. in him.
He does. And but you know what?
It's just a weird saying.
Yes, but you know what? We hit a point here where the Rebels writers kicked it into overdrive. And I mean that in a great way, because we get in the next about 15 minutes of this episode more development on a character than we've had in development of characters who've been on this show since episode one.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, with the ones they've done so far, the character episodes, I will say right now, we'll talk about later on in the program, but I will say right now, the two standouts, right, are Hera and this.
Yes, and this actually for two
weeks. I'm sorry, they misfired with Ezra and Sabine.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this episode. You get two characters who actually get a ton of development in this, but one especially just takes a quantum leap in character development.
Oh, wow. Oh, very nice reference there.
Yes, Dean Stockwell's standing behind me right now in this holographic form.
Oh, I'm sure he is, yeah. You know that guy is rather pesky and obnoxious.
So we're on the ice planet, and Zeb is, you know, trying to get them unpacked to survive, fix the transponder so somebody can find them, which leads to an interesting conversation about what happened on Geonosis, which leads into what happened on Zeb's home planet, and which leads to what we learned something very interesting about Kallus. Yes, he's 100% diehard for the Empire, but it's what he believes in, and he stands by that, and he stands by that with honor. And we learn that as we learn how Kallus got the weapon that he carries.
Yep.
And it was given to him with honor by one of Zeb's people in defeat. And when Zeb learns this, you can see kind of his attitude towards Kallus starts.
Yeah, can I just say, I almost felt sorry for Zeb having to listen.
It could not have been easy for him. But what was also great is, as they're talking, Zeb's bringing up points about the genocide, and you can see where maybe Kallus has some human being in him after all, because you can see him kind of shake and start to waver. It's like, I did what I did for the Empire. It doesn't necessarily mean I liked it.
Well, he's a man of duty, that one.
Yeah, I mean, what we learn with Kallus is, you know, the man takes his responsibility seriously and duty first with honor.
We learned, as the title of this episode tells you, we learned the softer side of Kallus.
Yes. The snuggle bear side of Kallus, shall we say.
Now let's not make it fruity.
What, no pebbles?
No. I didn't mean that fruity. I actually enjoy that fruity.
But as we go along, we realize Zeb and Kallus aren't alone in their crash landing site.
No.
They've actually stumbled into the doghouse, shall we say. And the doggy's really big and has a lot of sharp teeth.
Really? I thought they walked into Jurassic Park.
Well, that could be it too, but
I was just waiting for John Hammond to pop his head into the cave somewhere and be like,
"Welcome.
We have a T-Rex."
So that leads
to, you know, like some kind of random robot chicken thing. I don't know.
Well, it leads to our new odd couple working together to escape the situation.
Yeah. And some very good acrobatics from a guy that, well, his most impressive attribute is what's on his face.
Yes, yes. And also, you know, it's real interesting to watch them develop the "I don't trust you, but I have to trust you" aspect between Zeb and Kallus.
Yep,
and
yep.
How that trust kind of grows as the episode comes to a head.
It kind okay. This is where I'm gonna say, Kyle. It kind of reminded me of a further along, better written version of where Kanan and Ezra were in season one.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
Yeah,
but. You know,
I'm not sure if that worked, so I was like saying that.
No, I can see where you're coming from. Obviously, it's a little bit more harsh and angry than that relationship, but still, I can see where you're coming. As far as building the trust, yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But you know, it leads to, at the end of the episode, the ghost detects where Zeb is. They land. Zeb goes over and is talking to the crew. He could have easily ratted out Kallus there, and he didn't.
Well, because Zeb has honor.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing. It developed a mutual respect. Zeb and Kallus, if nothing else, developed a mutual respect thy enemy between each other.
Yes, the enemy of my enemy is thy friend.
Yes.
Although, something tells me, okay, and let's play a little over-under here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Over-under, do you think that at some point one is going to kill the other or both kill each other?
No, I think it's very under on that.
Why, just because it's a show on Disney XD?
Well, no, I honestly think because this kind of brings me up to my next point of the last shot of this episode once Kallus is rescued. And you see just how alone he is on the ship.
Yeah.
And I think what we're going to see is, it's the classic WWE heel turning babyface.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, oh, God. No. Why, sir? Why?
Oh, because the seed is planted. I mean, the turn for Kallus, while it might not be full on, "Oh, I'm joining the rebellion."
Yeah.
Let's say Zeb gets captured or something like that. Kallus rescues Zeb to return the favor, and it ends with Kallus leaving the Empire.
Well, if Zeb is captured and Kallus saves Zeb, then you have a, you know, when Han freed Chewie, if that still holds canon relevance.
Yeah, except I don't think it'll be quite the same relationship.
No, probably not. No.
But, again, I just come back to this episode, and what was so amazing about it was the character development. And I mentioned it before, and yes, I know in the last few episodes there's been a lot of Sabine dislike. I'll be kind this week.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Otherwise, when Minock returns, he's going to have a Sith fit.
But for what they do to develop Kallus in half of an episode, basically, it just shows you, to me, and there's so much potential in the Sabine character, don't get me wrong, but he just can't seem to tap it.
Oh, no, there is. In my defense, right, let me just say, there is huge potential in any character in Star Wars, and there's potential in Sabine. I can see the potential in Sabine. I'm just not hopping on the bandwagon right away because you put her in Mando armor.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it just...
Now is that soften the blow from the last time?
Oh, well, you know, and like I said, this isn't a hate on Sabine podcast. It's just, it's to me, the writers while they did an amazing episode, they also showed the disservice by how they've written some of the other characters when they do this amazing job with a character who is a secondary character. He's not our main villain. He started off as our main villain, but he's a secondary character at this point. And now they've set it up where there's all kinds of possibilities with Kallus. And they've made him an infinitely more interesting character.
They broke on the mold with Kallus because the traditional Star Wars mold is if they're the main villain, they're usually gone really quick.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Darth Maul, anyone?
Yeah, well, apparently we're going to see more.
I will say Maul is like a bad penny. He just keeps turning up.
Yep. Over and over again.
Yep.
But again, if this was our last of what I call our filler episodes, this was a great way to go out. And I'll honestly say this, Zeb has been our MVP since the Christmas break.
Yep, he has been.
So, I mean, everything is going to hit the fan next week or when the next episode because the hyperdrive is getting kicked in.
Oh, God, yes. So much so that I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, so, but, you know, what a great way to kind of clean the palate and get us ready for what's to come with this episode by giving us a lower key episode, but opening the door to some amazing directions Rebels could go in because of this episode.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. All right. Well, now we've reached the part of the program where we're going to break down the Rebels recon that accompanied this episode, the honorable ones. So, courtesy of StarWars.com, here's Rebels recon.
Hey everybody, Andy from StarWars.com here again at Lucasfilm headquarters. This week, we saw Zeb and Kallus form an unlikely alliance in The Honorable Ones, and now, as usual, I'm here to take you behind the scenes. So grab onto your mysterious, glowing rock things. This is Rebels Recon. Working on an abandoned Imperial construction module above Geonosis, the Rebels find themselves in a trap set by Agent Kallus.
How perceptive.
During a heated bout of one-on-one combat, Zeb and Kallus end up in the same escape pod and crash land on a Geonosian moon.
If anyone finds us, it'll be the Empire, and you will be captured.
Pinned by creatures, the two must put their differences aside to survive and develop a unique understanding for one another along the way. This week, an unexpected union formed between Zeb and Kallus while alone on the moon of Geonosis. I sat down with cast and crew to talk about how this will affect these characters going forward, as well as how it might change our opinion of Kallus. Check it out.
Zeb gets trapped on a freezing moon in The Honorable Ones with one of his mortal enemies, Agent Kallus. Mm-hmm. How are the pair able to work together to survive?
They're both warriors, and they understand that. They understand that they have to do what's necessary to survive. And in that process, I think there's a bonding between them and an unfoldment of parts of their past that they either weren't willing to look at or weren't able to look at. I think it's one of my favorite moments, actually, working on the show.
We get to see another side of Kallus in this episode. How do you go about changing the character of a villain into someone that audiences can be sympathetic with?
Kallus builds on some of what fandom has appreciated from the Empire. In the vast organization that is the Empire, there are people who thought they were doing the right thing. Now we're given the opportunity to give those characters a moment of pause and reflection and ask themselves, Are they really doing the right thing?
Kallus, based on his first encounter with the Sot, kind of judged Zeb with the same lens. And that's something we really wanted to explore, is once you get to know your enemy, you realize that you have more in common. I personally hate the idea of like a one-dimensional villain, because you really don't know what's driving them. And Kallus, I think what's really interesting about him is we're finally getting to see the other side of him develop and revealed.
I started to draw Zeb and Kallus sitting and talking, and you start to see that image. And what's that like? And I think the fun thing is that Kallus is more exuberant and over the top than he ever is when he's upside down, hanging and thrown like a lawn dart into the ceiling, and the freak out sounds he's making. You start to root for them as a team together. And we wanted to contrast the warmth that Zeb would receive versus the cold nature of the Empire.
The Honorable Ones is the first time we've heard about Geonosis in a while. What's happened there since then?
Well, the last time we saw Geonosis, or it was implied we saw Geonosis, was actually at the end of Revenge of the Sith. It was this sort of incubation place where the Death Star project was originated, because Geonosians were the ones tasked to build it in the first place.
You start to wonder, like, how they're building this thing. Even in a galaxy, how are they keeping it secret? Just in the supplies alone, you know, there must be a bigger story for how they're keeping everybody quiet. Are they buying everybody off? We just decided to touch upon that story briefly.
The really ominous note is that Ezra gets the feeling that something terrible has happened on the planet. He's not sensing any life. The mystery of Geonosis is something we'll definitely explore later on in the series.
Kallus and Zeb aren't the only people in this episode with an unlikely friendship. Can you guess the other two? I'll wait. That was a long fake pause to make you think I could hear anything on this side of the screen. It's Pablo and me. This week, as always, I tracked him down to ask him your urgent Star Wars questions. Watch.
Hey, Pablo. Hey. I have two really common questions for you today.
Okay.
So the first one's from Bacon the Rebel. And he asks, if Hera is Cham Syndulla's daughter, then who was the little orange Twi'lek girl we saw with him in the Clone Wars?
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people thought Numa was Hera for the longest time, yeah. Until obviously this episode made it clear that Numa is Numa and Hera is Hera. So now everyone's looking at that little orange girl. She's just another Twi'lek villager. You gotta remember, Cham Syndulla was like a folk hero. He was a very popular leader. And popular leaders give speeches, kiss babies, and hold children while they inspire others.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. And the next one is definitely the most popular question I saw after last week's episode. People were wondering why Hera switched into a French or Ryloth accent when speaking to her father.
Well, you know, Hera left at a young age, and she kind of put her past behind her, and that includes talking the way she used to talk when she was at home. And I think anyone who suddenly gets exposed to something from their past, be it returning home or talking to their parents, especially when it's emotional, will find their original way of talking coming back. And, you know, speaking as a Canadian, it's something that I've experienced and know a little something about.
Great. Thanks, Pablo.
Have questions about the Honorable Ones or anything else you want to know about Rebels? Tweet it to @StarWars using the hashtag RebelsRecon, and we'll answer what we can online. Now, let's turn the lights down low and get ready, because we have an exclusive clip from our next episode, Shroud of Darkness.
Digging this planet, it's not gonna work out as a base after all.
Saying that the key part of secret base is the secret location, no, it will not work out. Where's Chopper?
I signaled him. He's either lost or ignoring us.
Oh, he's not lost. Cross!
Thanks for watching Rebels Recon. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode. But in the meantime, check out our episode guide for the Honorable Ones on StarWars.com, and if you haven't already, download the Star Wars app, because it's awesome. I'll see you next week. Hey everybody, Andy from StarWars.com here at Lucasfilm headquarters. In Homecoming, we saw Hera begrudgingly team up with her father, Clone War legend Cham Syndulla, and now I'm gonna take you behind the scenes. This is Rebels Recon. Just pretend I said that in a French accent.
All right, so Kyle, what did you make of, you know, what they had to say in Rebels Recon?
Well, typical recon. I mean, it's always interesting to hear the perspectives, but I mean, and again, I think it's part of the problem with being in these filler episodes. Next week, it all hits the fan, man. It's game over, man. That's game over.
Well, now, come on, Bill Pullman, cool it.
Bill Pullman, no, Bill Paxton.
Whatever.
Don't mess with the god of Paxtonation.
The guy, hey, you know what? I've had that Independence Day regurgitation. Or wait, resurgence on my mind.
Hey, Bill Paxton just got cast into something here the other day that he's, what is it? I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was a pretty cool project.
Oh, all right then. All right, fine. was there anything extra they talked about that was a takeaway from this episode?
For me, not really. I mean, what about you, David?
Well, I was curious on those glowing rock things. I mean, clearly they were watching Enemy Mine before making this episode.
Oh, well, without a doubt. For a while, I thought maybe those glowing rock things were going to be related to our friendly neighborhood puppy in this episode. But I thought maybe some kind of egg or something like that. But, you know, I think it was there to kind of be the curveball in the episode.
That's true. All right, so we have a few clips with... to talk about as well, both being from Shroud of Darkness, which I believe is the episode coming up soon. So let's talk about them. We'll play the clip.
I wondered when you would return.
A temple guard?
I've come for knowledge. I need to know how to defeat Vader and his inquisitors.
Try to fight, and you will fail. The rebellion will be destroyed. You will die, and your apprentice will become a servant of evil.
What are you talking about?
The dark side. It pulls at him. It calls to him. Eventually, he will be consumed by it. Stand aside. The boy must be eliminated before he embraces the darkness.
I won't let that happen.
All right, so Kyle, let's talk about what we see here. We see Kanan in this... First of all, they're back at the Jedi Temple on Lothal.
Yeah, which just doesn't bode well for a lot of reasons.
No, but here's the thing. I don't know about you, but were you getting a sort of weird Matrix-y dojo vibe?
Oh, no, I wasn't getting a weird Matrix-y dojo vibe. I was in the Matrix dojo.
Okay.
I was ready for Morpheus to turn around and see Morpheus there.
Maybe Morpheus is that temple guard.
Could very well be.
And I don't remember their lightsabers kind of folding up like a blind person's stick.
Yeah, no, that's a new one.
That's actually a nice little touch.
Yeah.
I'm like... So much so that I'm like, hey, Filoni, could you go back to Clone Wars and retcon a few things here?
Oh, we'll see. I mean, if they're going to retcon a tri-saber.
Granted, we didn't see the temple guards that much, so yeah. It's kind of all right.
So, yep. No. I can't wait. I can't wait. I want it now. Give it to me.
I do. Okay, slow down, Veruca Salt. We have another clip to talk about. This one being Ahsoka and Ezra. And Ahsoka's talking about Yoda. Well, let's just take a listen, take a gander, and then we'll talk about it.
You knew Master Yoda?
Yes. He taught almost all of the younglings in the temple at one point or another.
Kanan described him to me. Small, green, and wrinkly with pointy ears. But he didn't know what he was really like.
I'm not sure anyone did. He was wise, kind. But when I was young, he seemed happier. As the Clone War dragged on, he carried a great burden. A deep sorrow. As if he knew before anyone else that one time was ending and another beginning.
Whoa. I know this place.
Special duties?
Master Yoda? You're here.
Or here you are.
Last time I couldn't see you.
Growing your abilities are. And with them, danger.
All right, so Kyle, let's talk about this one. This one gave me the chills because, well, we know what's coming.
We know what's coming.
And it's not good.
No, it's not good. Good. You would think Ahsoka would probably want to stay away from Jedi temples, really.
Yeah, considering last time she was around one.
It didn't quite go real well.
No, it didn't quite. I mean, her best friend turned into not her best friend. Her master defended her, yet the other masters were, well, a little douchey, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean,
Think she would want to avoid Jedi temples? Yeah.
What we've been building to all season. And, you know, when we all saw the initial trailers, this is what everybody focused on, was the things we're seeing and going to be seeing in this episode.
Yep, true.
So, I mean, it's just, this is the high point of the season. We're hitting it right now. We're hitting the meat. And I think when these next few episodes are done, there's going to be things in the Star Wars universe we will never see the same again.
Well, I would say that, but I kind of think this little thing called 7, 8, 9 are doing that.
Well, 7, 8, 9 are doing that, but I'm talking about in this time frame, in this time period.
Oh, in this time frame? Yeah. You're right. Totally.
You know, 7, 8, and 9 are a whole different, that's a whole different ball of wax. But what we're going to see when we think Star Wars and think things in this time period and just even things about the Jedi and everything like that, our thought process is going to, Dave is going to change our thought process on several things before this season is done.
All right. Well, one thing before we wrap up the episode, I want to talk about what we see in this clip. We see Yoda. Although, I'm going to say that we see Yoda, but it's not Yoda.
It's definitely some kind of mental image of Yoda.
Yes, because I was starting to get weird, acid-esque sort of flashbacks to the puppet Yoda, or as Jimmy McInerney likes to call it, the catcher's mitt with eyes Yoda.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm
but
like, what did you do with the Yoda?
Well, you know, this is one of those times when, you know, I brought this up when the clips came out and they show the animation where Ahsoka's talking about Anakin and her master and they're watching some holo video and it looked like it could have been 8-bit Nintendo.
Yeah.
This is one of those times where I think maybe they ran a little tight on the budget.
just a bit. Well, you know, I mean, they've been doing that since the whole tide change, because if it wasn't tight on budget, it would have been, the animation would have changed at all if budgetary wasn't an issue.
Yeah, well, you know, it's... And I think Yoda is a very tough thing to pull off in animation.
Yeah, he is. He is. And, you know, one minute he can look like Samurai Jack, and the next minute he can look like, you know, the Clone Wars Yoda, and then, of course, the next minute, here, he can look like some toy that a kid had in 78.
Yeah, so I think it's Yoda more than any other character is that open to artist interpretation.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, I caught on really early to the fact that it's not Yoda. It's a mental projection. One, you know, Ezra's in the exact same spot where he got the crystal and heard Yoda's voice.
Yeah. Oh, and we know where Yoda's at. I mean, I think that is so blatantly obvious that anybody who thought it was actually Yoda. It is, but it might be a forced projection of Yoda, but it's not physically Yoda.
I think Ezra was taken into that room because notice, Ahsoka and Ezra are in the same room, and then after she describes Yoda to him, it's almost like Ezra disappears.
Yeah, but, well, I think what we'll find out is they all get separated in this temple, and they all go through something in this temple.
Ah, well, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, because I really do think this is where we kind of maybe get our first fooled you, trolled you segment of an Ahsoka-Vader confrontation.
Yeah, oh, so you're saying by the time of that episode's record, we'll all be cursing Filoni?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, damn you, Filoni, but I love you. Damn you, love you, damn you, love you. So it's like that?
Yeah, basically. I think over the next five or six episodes, we're going to be like that with Dave, period.
Well, that sounds good. You know, he did take on the metaphysical flannel for a reason, you know.
Well, it's all about the hat now.
Well, I know. The flannel will come. Just give him another 10 years. All right, well, Kyle, that'll do it for this episode. Episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions. Kyle, thank you as always, my friend.
Oh, it's a pleasure as always. And hang on, folks, because the Star Tours is about to get ramped up considerably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, gang, thanks for listening. And remember, till next time, stay rebellious.
Always.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Ghost Transmissions.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. But back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm. Uh-huh.
We rob from the Empire, give to the needy. A noble cause.
Yeah.
I'm on my mark.
And Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Gotcha!
Mission accomplished.
Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels in the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish.
All rights reserved.
Fighter, coming in at Mark 3.
Lost Phoenix 1 and 2.
We will squeeze Lothal until someone reveals the whereabouts of these traitors.
For the good of Lothal, we have to leave.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight.
We can't just run.
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Fear, the anger, the hate. I haven't sensed a presence like that since...
The Clone Wars.
My name is Rex. Captain. 501st Clone Battalion. I fought with Commander Tano during the Clone Wars. And a friend of hers... is a friend of mine.
everyone.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Good news, we are off on
this
an
podcast
adventure.
Is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary Lucasfilm.
Rex, keep those ties off our back.
Working on it.
Surrender or be destroyed.
I hope you brought a better class of soldier than those stormtroopers.
They'll all be coming now.
This podcast, Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, is meant for information and entertainment purposes only.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.